Mitch, what is on your camouflage hat that still has a sticker on it?
That was my license plate when I lived in California. It says 4x4, brah.
Oh my gosh.
Comments? Thoughts?
I did not, until this very moment, realize what a douche you are.
No, you should have known. I had this custom license plate on my Jeep Wrangler. So it's 4x4BRAH. 4x4, brah. And then you do like the surfer hand thing.
Have you ever surfed?
Yes, actually.
I want to hear about how you surfed, not how you got your douchey license plate.
You mean like the physics behind how my fat body was able to stay on top of the water?
We've already talked about how you're very buoyant.
I went to Costa Rica with my cousin, who's...
Hold on a second.
Yes?
You're living in California. And
correct.
Your story starts with, I went to Costa Rica with my cousin.
Well, look, I'm not going to try and surf where someone I might know could see me.
Fair.
So I went to a country 1,000 miles away. And we wanted to try and surf. The thing is, my cousin is in incredible shape. When he got out of the Marine Corps, he continued to exercise. And he even got into MMA fighting. So we're a little different. He excelled at it. I had to use a paddleboard for how big I am.
Wait a second. A paddleboard instead of a surfboard?
Yes. But I got up on the board and rode the wave in just like anybody else. I wish I would have continued to surf when I was in California, because it is probably the best workout I ever had. Just fighting the waves. It's all core muscles and stuff. So it was very fun, but it was also extremely tiring.
Sounds like it was custom made for your cousin.
Yes. Yeah.
When we were in California, so we got to go live on Redondo Beach.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I love Redondo.
So I spent most of my time on Hermano Beach, and my daughter has surfing on her bucket list. And I'm like, holy crap, I can help my kid knock something off of her bucket list. The rest of her bucket list is pretty morbid. One of them was riding down a hill in a coffin.
And that's interesting.
When she tore her ACL on a back bowl in Vail and had to be lifted out in a papoose.
Uh-huh.
And then skied down by a very giant Nordic-looking ski man.
That kind of fit the...
I was like, dude, you can totally knock that off. You totally could have died in that papoose.
Also, similar to a horse, you've injured your leg and we're going to have to shoot you.
We're going to need to put you down. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Kelly.
You still stuck in Texas?
Look, there was an ice storm. I was on my way out. I had an escape plan. I had told my wife and daughter that I would miss them, and then it snowed about a tenth of an inch.
Right, which is enough to shut the entire state down.
The whole state was like, nobody move. Don't even leave your houses. We hope you stocked up on water and firewood, because it's a little cold outside. I was lucky. We didn't lose power or anything.
Hey, if you ever lose power, after the last snowpocalypse, we put a whole house generator on our home.
Did you really?
Yeah, we are never... I don't like being cold. My fleece is battery heated.
I need to get one of those, because during this whole period, my nipples were just like razor sharp.
Dude, you should probably put some Band-Aids on those, protect those.
That's what marathon runners do.
Oh, I know. I've actually run marathons.
I trained for one.
It's almost the same.
For about a week. And
they should have just given you the medal.
Look, I've read like one thing that said running isn't good for you. And ever since then, I've been like, look, I just don't do it.
Right. I don't want to take the chance.
Yeah, who knows what could happen.
So what's going on with Billy?
You know what's funny is I feel like at the end of every episode, I say, and next week, I'm going to bring up this topic.
And then you don't.
And then I just forget.
It's charming. We find it endearing. We love that you can't remember things from one week to the next.
I got a few things that I can bring up.
You can bring something.
I cry a lot because she's not a baby anymore.
She's not.
I also cry a lot just because I'm extremely depressed, but that has nothing to do with
it. It's really bad when you're PMSing.
Yeah, and I'm like always PMSing. I'm like, when is this period going to start?
You get like, you got 1 week where you're lined up with Lee. You got 1 week where you're lined up with me. You're just very empathetic.
No, here's the problem is it's premenstrual, right? So it's before the period starts. And I feel like I've been waiting on this period for about 10 years now.
So you just need to bleed.
I'm always very emotional. I have a terrible cramp.
Is that why you're not running?
Yes.
The cramp.
That is it. I'm bloated. But one of the things that has hit Lee and I both recently is words. She is now using full sentences. When it snowed, when she woke up in the morning, Lee opened up the window and Billy said, "Wow, what's that?"
Wow.
At 21 months old.
Wow.
And then I guess while I was at work, also I don't know, Lee could be lying because I'm never there. But when I was at work last night, Lee was taking her to take a shower. So she started walking towards our bathroom and Lee was knocked out of Billy's room. And Billy stopped and turned around. And when Lee came out of Billy's room, she goes, "Mommy, are you coming?"
Oh, wow. She just heard you saying that one.
And oh, man, talk about scarring your child. Instead of taking a shower with her this week, I put her in her bathtub and I turned the shower on and I just let her shower herself for a little while. You just watch her do all the motions. You know, she doesn't actually get the soap, but she lathers up her head. She does the motions for that, and then she's washing underneath her arms. She's just a sponge. But here's the big one. This is the scariest thing that she's doing. She can open up the back door.
So can your dog.
Yes, and now sometimes he can't. He can open it to come in, but he can't open it to go out. And now anytime he stands at the door, she goes over there, she opens up the door, and she goes, "Duke, no."
Oh, wow.
And then she'll open up the door the rest of the way and then get out of his way and he'll go out. It's so funny. She hears me telling him no all the time. That she thinks that's his name.
Duke, no. I love that. So my first order of business is, have you seen the locks that attach to the top of a door that a child can't reach?
I haven't seen those. So the problem with the back door is a lever knob.
Right.
I know the round door knobs, they have those things that go over them.
Right.
And a child, it just sits there and turns.
It's pressure activated.
It's a puzzle to get it to turn. So I know about those. So with the lever style door, what is this lock that goes at the top? Are you talking about like in a store where it slides in to the top?
There's some that are like that, and there's some that are like a hook and lever mechanism where the hook attaches to the door, the lever to the door frame.
Does this involve me like screwing things?
Yes, installation.
Now, I don't really want to put any more screws or anything into the wood, so she's just going to have to be able to go outside.
That's fine. I mean, if she's going outside, it's probably to play with her roller coaster and her pirate ship playground and her balance track and her, shall I go on?
I do think that the way you named those children's toys does make the backyard sound more dangerous than it is.
It's magical.
Yeah, it's like, there's a roller coaster and a pirate ship. And balance beams? How high off the ground is it? Yeah, I think the biggest thing right now is the weather. She's opening the door and leaving it open. I'm so happy that she does this because I finally get to use that old saying. You're letting all the cold air out.
Hey, I just thought about something you could do for your lever door that would involve one hole in the sheetrock.
Okay.
You could attach an eye screw, some sort of rubber band-esque thing, like a headband.
And just put it around.
And then put it around there.
Yeah, that could work.
I mean, it is redneck engineering, but I've seen how you fix things, and I think it might work.
Yeah, like my relationship. How about this, though? Let's get real a little somber. Here's one thing that I would like some maybe advice on or whatever.
Yeah, bring it.
I have never shied away from being honest about my mental health, and lately I'm going through some stuff. I've been extremely depressed. I've been experiencing some serious anxiety. Last week at work, we called 911 on me because I thought I was having a heart attack.
I mean, you do have a lot of the prerequisites.
Comorbidities. I mean, that's probably it. I mean, I've had two friends my age die in the last few months.
Yeah, it's been real recent.
And so I think maybe that's getting in my head. And this medicine that I was on started making me feel like I was having heart palpitations. And I think that turned into some serious anxiety. And I must have had a panic attack and thought that it was a heart attack.
Right.
And so we called 911. Anyway, that's just to say that I'm a mess right now.
Right. It's okay.
I don't want, like, how do you compartmentalize that? Or, you know, it's bad enough that my wife has been dealing with this since we got together. She's a trooper. You know, she's there for me. But I don't like my daughter seeing me sad or crying or whatever it is. Like, I don't want her growing up and thinking, you know, dad's miserable all the time.
I don't think there's one answer, and I'm definitely just a friend. And I'll tell you, like, when you lost your friend Adam, it was at the exact same time that I lost my friend Mari.
Yes.
And it's the same thing, where that we are very similarly aged. We lived very similar lifestyles, and it was very sad. Went into the Christmas holiday with it, right? And I know, like, for me, I decorated the entire radio station. I put up multiple Christmas trees, wreaths. I decorated. I made
every... You put up beautiful stockings.
I made those.
That are available for sale.
It's ChristmasCockpit.com is where you can find them if you actually want to see what I do. And then I bought...
I'm sorry. Turning this really sincere moment into a marketing opportunity.
I bought Christmas presents for every DJ that works in our studio complex. Mm-hmm. So I bought presents for every DJ on four radio stations. And I realized it wasn't about Christmas or the Christmas spirit. I just wanted to feel something.
Yeah.
I felt so empty and broken inside.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to feel something. And it didn't fill the void, but it, like, took up the time. I realized, like, losing Mari was dealing with my own mortality.
That's a big part of it, too. It's really morbid to say something like this. But a lot of times, like, I don't like living. But also, I am terrified to die, because I think about the fact that I want to see this little girl grow up and turn into the person that she's going to be, and see all the things. And we started late. I was 40 when she was born. So more than likely, based off of the average lifespan, I'll get to see her turn 40, her early 40s. So I'll get, you know... More than likely, I'll get to see her get married. I'll get to see her have children. So I'll get to see my grandchildren. But
I mean, if she follows in your mom's footsteps, that could be in just a couple years.
Yeah, it could be. We'll see. We'll see how responsible she is growing up. Yeah, I think that having two people that... One I was extremely close with now in my life, and then the other friend I was close to in my early 20s. To have both of them pass at the same age as I am, I think that's just been really...
It's devastating.
Yes. And like you said, it causes you to look at yourself and be like, you know, some of these are just out of nowhere. You're like, I could just die. I could have an aneurysm, I could be sitting here talking to you, and then just, I don't exist anymore.
Right.
That's terrifying.
I don't like the idea of it, but it is reality. You know, the old joke about only two things you can count on in this world are death and taxes.
Yeah.
I think you can plan for both, at least a little bit. I think it's a fine idea to have life insurance not only on you, but on your spouse. It's an extra monthly expense, but it is a lot of a peace of mind.
I actually pay the extra amount. So I really hope there's no foul play in Lee's death, because they're really going to be looking at me. When she died for a few minutes in my grandmother's bathroom,
right?
I was just like, oh, they're going to think I did it. Come on, Lee. Wake up. Wake up. I can't be a single dad, and I can't be interrogated by the police right now. I'm just not emotionally stable enough to deal with this. My wife's death would be so inconvenient for me. I cannot stress that enough.
What would be the inconvenience?
Well, for one, I can't do anything on my own. And then I take care of Billy by myself sometimes. Like when I take her to Georgia, or when Lee might go out of town or something. And that's usually for like 3 days max. Even though I have the best child in the world, after that 3 days, I'm like,
tap out.
You know, I got to give this kid to somebody else for a little while.
I hear you.
And if Lee wasn't here, it might just be like a stranger or somebody. I might just be like, hey, I need your help.
So here's what I'm hearing is, you know, losing your wife would be devastating. And honestly, it should be. Like, if it's not devastating to lose the person you married, then maybe you didn't marry the right person.
I know some people are like, losing your wife is hopeful. You're just waiting for it to happen. Not me. I love my wife.
And... Well, you're more or less a newlywed too, so.
Yeah, but we're different.
You guys are both old souls, I think.
I get, like, I, you know, I'm going to therapy. I'm doing things to try and heal whatever is broken with me that needs help. But in the meantime, I am just, like, trying to put on a show.
I hear you.
You know, I want her to...
For Billy.
I want her to be happy. I want her to grow up thinking, believing that I am happy as well. And I truly am... When it comes to her, it's just, you know, the name of this podcast is Stuck in Texas. This is not the life that I want to live. And so it weighs heavy on me at times, and I'm trying really hard for that not to bleed over into her life.
Do you ever spill something and you don't want to deal with it?
I spill stuff all the time.
Or take care of it? So you put the rug over it? Right? It doesn't take care of it. It just leaves a bigger fucking mess for later.
Right.
So you need to deal with this shit, or you're just going to be left with a bigger mess later. I feel like you just identified the roots of it. You're dealing with your mortality. You're dealing with medication that's causing you physical symptoms. That's something that somebody with a lot of medical training can fix. And you're dealing with being in a place you don't want to be, and you don't see a way forward. Are those all true statements?
Yes. I think just that alone really helps. I just want to say that it's been fun doing this podcast, but you're right. I have to leave. We can't do this anymore. I got to get out of Texas.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Well, what I'm saying is you may spend the rest of your life here, but you need to
Would you... Say that.
because Mitch, you are more than the place that you're at. And even though Wichita Falls is, well, how do we say this? A little inbred, a little hillbilly, a little backwoods. It's still a great place to live. Okay.
Financially,
it's fantastic. But you need to get to a place mentally. You need to work towards a place where, whether you're in Wichita Falls or whether you're in L.A. or whether you're in Austin or whether you're in Atlanta, you have found your inner happiness.
You know who I admire?
I don't, but I hope you'll tell me.
I admire your husband.
Why is that?
Because I was asking him one time This is at, like, right after you had started comedy, because it was something that you had wanted to do for a very long time. And it's just fun to see somebody, like, going after a dream. And I was sitting with him, and I go, so what about you, man? Like, is there anything that you've ever wanted to do? And you know what he told me? He goes, he said, Mitch, I'm the most content person you'll ever meet. He just is very happy and satisfied with his life. And I admire it, but I'm very jealous, because I'm 42 years old, and I don't know that I've ever truly been happy or satisfied with my life. It's a very tough place to be in, where you're just like, this sucks all the time. I want something more, and it's just always a little bit out of reach. So maybe I should have been a fighter pilot.
Maybe. So I'm hearing two things from you. You're never getting satisfied, but you want to be satisfied. I would posture that the fact that you're never satisfied is what keeps your drive going. That characteristic about you is what keeps you pushing forward and looking for more, looking for the next, looking for the boundaries, looking for the edge that you can get to. Having also said that, if you want...
All of these are topics that I've found on Pornhub, by the way.
Pushing for the edge?
Pushing boundaries, edging... Satisfaction.
So I think with contentment, it comes with releasing things. And I want to let...
Another...
Pornhub category. I didn't know that I spoke porn so fluently, but I'm hearing it now. With Richard's contentment, it came with a struggle. He did not just get to contentment because he woke up one day and he was like, yeah, I'm fine with whatever the universe gives to me. What happened when he was separating from the Air Force after 20 plus years of service and a life as a fighter pilot and looking at flying commercial airlines for the rest of his life? He was tormented.
I got to imagine, you know, that's you're going from being one of the world's elite pilots to, in a sense, flying a bus.
It's exactly what it is. I think his torment came more from his sense of duty and service. He has a very strong sense of duty. Is that also a Pornhub category?
No. Okay. No. And I get that. I didn't retire, but I was in for 5 years and went to Iraq. And then when I separated, it was about 6 months of me feeling like a deserter, even though I was given an honorable discharge and I fulfilled my contract.
Right.
That is something that I think a lot of people in the military experience, is that feeling like you're not doing your duty anymore.
Right. And there's a lot of fulfillment that comes from doing that duty, right? Like, he gets fulfillment in places by serving in the military that mm-hmm. he doesn't get from the flying aspect of his service.
Right.
So when he transitioned into the commercial sector, he had to find other things that would fill the gaps that were left behind by separating from the military. And I'm telling you that because for him, filling those gaps, figuring out what was missing that made him feel incomplete, and finding a piece that would fit in that hole. Is that a Pornhub category?
100%.
By finding the void and finding the peace, that's how we got to contentment.
Well, I'm very happy that I was able to come into his life and fill that void.
You mean take me off of his hands? For at least an hour a week.
Well, this has been very helpful. I think the good news is I don't have to spend $50 a week on a therapist anymore. This hasn't been the funniest podcast that we've done, but I feel great.
That's awesome. All right. So since we've done a lot of feel-good shit, so I have this roast coming up on Saturday night. It's not a roast battle as I thought it was. It is a roast.
Right. You're doing it in the form of the Comedy Central roast of, you know, Justin Bieber, Pamela Anderson. there's a guest of honor, and then there's a panel. And you roast everyone in the panel first, and then you roast the guest of honor.
Yes. So my roast jokes are definitely in the Comedy Central panel way.
Okay.
The dude whose hosting's name is Mike. So my first joke is, thanks to our host Mike, when you have a 40-year-old hippie that lives with his mom making your pizza, you got to wonder what kind of mushrooms he's putting on top.
That's good.
That's my only joke for Mike. Gorb. Gorb is built like a Sasquatch that drowned, bloated, and floated to the surface. I'm saying he's fat and hairy.
Yeah, that's good.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Did you hear fat and hairy? Okay.
Yeah.
I asked Jason to describe Gorb. He said, quote, he's a fat piece of shit who gets drunk and naked, end quote. That's the entire roast. There's no punchline.
I think there's something that you end after. I think there's something that you put after that.
Any suggestions? Cheers.
So you could say which made Will Ferrell seem endearing in the movie Old School, but in real life, that's why he's not allowed within 50 meters of a elementary school. And don't say 50 meters. Say 500 yards because this roast isn't in Europe.
This is slightly nicer. I asked Jason to describe Gorb.
Okay, hold on. I got to stop you right there. You're doing a roast, so there is no slightly nicer.
Okay.
But give me your version.
Which made Will Ferrell endearing in Old School. So you may be on to something.
No.
Gorb founded the Comedy Union of North Texas. Cunt. Which would lead you to think he's a 12-year-old boy. He's not, but he still jerks off as much as one.
That's good.
Gorb works for Service Master so he can clean up any mess, but he can't clean up himself. By the way, loved you as Han Solo's co-pilot.
That's good. I like that.
Jeff.
Is this El Jefe?
Yes.
Okay.
Jeff will eat anything he thinks has weed in it. Someone must have told him all the food at China Buffet was laced. He's been cleaning them out daily.
That's a good one.
Jeff is built like an avocado, thick in the middle. All the Mexican women think if they smash him, they'll get a lifetime supply of guac. Is that why they call you El Jefe?
Good one.
That's it. That's all I have for him.
Maybe do something about his screen printing business.
That's a good idea. Ryan. Ryan's mom was a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. They called Ryan's mom's back the end zone because that's where all the black guys spike their balls.
Oh, that one's pretty good.
Ryan considers himself a rapper. I thought I saw him at a kiosk near Santa. Mike P. always refers to himself as a coconut, brown on the outside, white on the inside. But coconuts have hard bodies. Mike should start referring to himself as a mushroom, still brown on the outside, but fat and squishy. The only time Mike P is white on the inside is when Tanner's done with him.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Mike P works at a water treatment plant. Someone told me he was adding saltpeter to the water to kill everyone's boners. No need. His OnlyFans already did that.
That's a good one.
Clint George. Clint just came back from Tennessee, where the cops are known for fighting and fucking, and Clint doesn't have a scratch on him. Clint dresses like a 90s.
Wait. Okay. That was a slow burn on me. Read that one more time.
Clint just came back from Tennessee, where the cops are known for fighting and fucking, and Clint doesn't have a scratch on him.
Was he a cop, or are you just saying the cops fucked him a lot?
Yeah, I'm saying that he got fucked by the cops. And it's fair play, because with the recent running of a train on the only female officer, they're doing some kind of joke about me being the only female.
So what I would say, is that where the train was at in Tennessee? Mm-hmm. So don't say fighting and fucking. Say fighting and running trains on bitches, because you got to make it seem like he's a bitch.
Clint just came back from Tennessee, where the cops are known for fighting and running trains on bitches, and Clint doesn't have a scratch on him.
Yeah, I think that one makes it more clear that he's getting
railed
by the cops.
Is getting railroaded the same as running a train? Because they seem like they go together.
I mean, you're getting fucked either way, so.
Clint dresses like a 90s sitcom character. At 41, he's the Fresh Prince of Grenada.
Hmm. You know, there's also something to the order that you do these in.
I agree, and so, this is preliminary.
So the one that you did about him getting fucked by the cop, that should be the last one on him.
I'm not sure because I think I have one better.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, hold on. There's there's one more, and Jason wrote this one. He wrote, Clint jokes about having a third leg. Too bad it has athlete's foot.
That's good.
And then this one's my closer. By the way, Clint's from Grenada. He's black.
Okay.
Clint's day job, in his own words, is plantation work. I thought that was just what he called hooking up with white girls.
That's pretty good.
Do you think the other one's better?
Maybe open with that one and then do the other one.
Okay,
last.
So swap these two.
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, those were really good.
Tanner, I don't know this person, so all I did was listen to stories about things that he's done, and I wrote this one. Tanner licks feet and armpits like a cat. Too bad he doesn't get any pussy. And then this was a gimme from Jason. Tanner's like Beetlejuice. Say his name 3 times, and he shows up in your grandma's bed. Apparently, he likes to
hook up with old chicks.
I don't know. I've never met him. Brandon DeMoss. DeMoss says he always has to ask girls if they're related, and that's an interesting way to make an arrest. So his joke is about he's
a cop.
He's a cop, and I think he's from Nakona, so the gene pool's pretty small in a small town. And then he'll joke about, like, that's why he's pro-immigration, to water down the bloodline, you know, give you more breeding possibilities.
Oh, wait, he's always asking women if they're related to him.
Right.
So I thought you were saying if the women were related to each other.
Okay, noted. I've made that correction.
Why?
I don't know. We might just scrap that shit.
I gotta. That's, don't scrap it. Okay, so he's always asking. What I want to get to is the fact that that's how he's deciding to fuck them, not trying to avoid it.
Oh, we could say something like, that's an interesting way to determine who you arrest and who you handcuff.
To your bed?
Yeah.
That's not there yet. Let's see. He's always asking women if they're related to him. So Brandon comes from a small town. He says to prevent incest, he always asks women if they're related to him, which makes you wonder why he's hitting on women at the family reunion anyway.
Okay.
That might not be it exactly, but you see where it's going, right?
Mm-hmm. Something like Brandon DeMoss wouldn't have to ask all the women he's interested in if he's related to them if he were using, say, Tinder.com instead of Ancestry.com.
Yes, but I don't think you have to say Tinder.com.
I don't think there is a .com. I think it's an app, and I just said the Google. That was my old lady version of the Google. Okay, I love that he's a police officer. He may be the only cop I'm taller than. DeMoss is short and bald. He looks like a shaved ball sack with eyes. Okay. I wonder if his police badge says Hillbilly Hobbit.
So his police badge, because he's short, right? What, say that part again.
I wonder if his police badge says Hillbilly Hobbit.
What if Brandon is so cute and adorable? He says he works for the whatever police department, but if you look at his badge, it says whatever the name of a toy company is, it says Hasbro on it or whatever.
Mattel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. If you flip his badge over, it says Mattel.
Yeah. Who's a cute little police officer? Ooh, you gonna lock me up? You gonna give me a ticket? Ooh, you're such a good little police officer. When Brandon pulls you over to give you a ticket, you just want to squeeze his cheeks. Brandon's police folder is a Transformers Trapper Keeper. When Brandon does sketches of suspects, he does it in crayon.
I think we got enough Brandon.
Okay.
Those are funny as hell, though. All right, Jason, the man of the hour. So I was trying to have like 2 or 3 jokes for everybody else and then have like 4 or 5 for Jason.
Okay.
So here's what I have.
He is the owner of the venue, right?
It's actually a 50-50 split.
He's one of the owners of the venue.
Mike, who is the MC, owns half, and Jason, who's being roasted, owns half. Jason did fuel in the Air Force. Now only does gas in the deep end.
No, hold on. Jason did fuel. Are you saying he huffs gas?
No, he did. He was a fueler.
No, you said now he does fuel.
Now he does gas in the deep end. I'm saying he just sits around the deep end farting all day.
No. Okay, just I'll have to think about it. Go ahead.
Jason owns a cash-based arcade bar, so he's afraid Uncle Sam's going to get him. He liked when his other uncles tag-teamed him.
Just say he's afraid Uncle Sam's going to fuck him, just like his Uncle Roger and his Uncle Bill.
Tanner just hopes he gets to lick Uncle Sam's dirty feet when he shows up.
Tanner's the one that likes feet and licking feet and armpits.
Yes. When Jason was deployed, all his parents wanted for Christmas was a folded flag. Jason is...
I thought you were going to say something more because of the way you read it, but that's a good one.
Jason is a great cook. I love his little mane, but I miss my dog.
Okay, that's good because he's Asian.
He's Filipino, yeah. Jason loves that Laura is going to nursing school. He loves when she practices prostate exams on him.
That's a good one.
Jason and Laura are expecting. He's grossed out feeling his son kicking in Laura's belly. Laura is grossed out thinking their kid will have his Frito toenails.
That's a good one. But how about he's grossed out thinking of his son growing in her belly. She's grossed out remembering the night of conception.
And that's it. Those are my first roast jokes.
So the I think overall, like, really great job. They were quick, very succinct. And that's the thing about roast jokes is they got to be, like, snappy, right?
Right.
You went pretty hard on a lot of them. I think that was just a fantastic job overall. The one thing I would say, the one about fuels and gas, yeah, I guess it's good the way it is. I was trying to think of something that inferred drug use, since he's the owner of a adult arcade.
I feel like that's Peep Shows, and this is more like Mario Kart.
Yeah, he owns an alcoholic arcade, but. Yeah, keep the one that you got. If I brainstorm any more and come up with anything better, you know, I'll let you know. But I think all of that was really good, especially for your first time writing roast jokes. I personally am not the best roaster. I did roast battle one time in Los Angeles, and I lost my roast. But those are just really good. I mean, you had a couple where it's just us sitting here that made me laugh really hard, which is very difficult to do. So I think in that venue in front of an audience, you're going to get some really good reactions out of those.
Well, Wednesday, I had about 4 jokes written out of all of those. And Jason, Clint, and I sat there. And for some reason, it was a lot easier to come up with stuff bouncing crap off of the other guys, as opposed to sitting there writing them by myself.
It also helps that they know each other, and the people on the panel, so they're able to give you topics and things that you wouldn't have thought of to roast these people on.
For example, Tanner, I don't know him at all, but they told me about him licking some girl's feet while she was playing the Walking Dead game, and that was enough for me. That's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's their story, but my joke. And
that's fine.
And the other thing that would happen would be, I'd be like, hey, I know there's something here. And then maybe we'd suss it out together. And that was super helpful. And it gave me a lot of confidence when I finally got down a couple of jokes that didn't just suck.
Well, I think you've done a wonderful job with that. So with that all being done, and I'd give that an A.
I'd give it a C, but
I think it was great. I want to follow up on a couple things.
Okay.
We've talked in the past about you maybe reaching out to a few venues about, you know, doing your own open mic or monthly showcase here.
I think we talked away from an open mic since we already have 2 successful open mics in Wichita Falls.
So doing a showcase.
Right.
And have you spoken to any of the venues?
No.
Okay. So I give that an F. And I also talked about the possibility of you reaching out to people in Dallas on shows that,
right,
like people that you've performed with a little bit and trying to get on some shows.
Right.
And I just want to know, like, if you've made any progress doing that.
I've talked to a couple of people, one IRL and 2 on Messenger.
Okay.
But no movement yet, but the word is out.
Okay. Well, I think that's good.
And that would be like a D.
That's making progress.
I got to tell you, the first assignment that we're talking about, the one with talking to the venues, setting something up, none of that stuff is stuff that's really I'm strong with. You know what I mean? Like,
it's been my biggest failure in the 16 years that I've been doing comedy. Like 100%. Like, I've just never been good at getting shows produced.
And why do you think that is for you?
I don't like rejection. Got to talk to like 20 places before one says yes. And then there's the pressure to actually get people to come to the shows, to put on a successful show. You're doing something with the venue, so you're wanting it to be good for the venue. You're doing something for yourself, so you want it to be good for yourself. And then you're also putting on a show that you have other comedians traveling to do. Like, you're not going to have everyone in Wichita Falls doing the show. You're going to want people to come up from Dallas, to come down from Oklahoma City. And that was always a big one for me. Like, you saw how I felt when we went down to Dallas and there wasn't a lot of people at that show. And like, nothing against the guy that produced it, but it made me feel bad because I was the one whose name was on the flyer. It's like, you don't want to travel that far. You just don't want to perform on shows where there's not much of an audience there. You know, I've been on shows where the crowd is huge, and that always feels amazing. And then I've done shows where there's, you know, 10 people in the audience, and it's just soul sucking. It's like, why am I doing this to myself? And so when you're the one in charge of putting the show together, all of that comes back. You're wanting to get money. You want to be able to pay the comedians. You want everyone to enjoy the show. You want the audience to enjoy the show, and you want the venue to want to keep the show going.
Right.
So there's a lot to be done there, and it's hard. I will say this. I have been critical of what some of the people locally do, but to their credit, they are trying. And while it may not be up to the standards that I would set for myself, at least they're doing it.
It's happening.
I think there's still room for more to happen here, but it's not. I think there's a window of opportunity to put on a show, but it's just pressure. And for me right now, where I'm working Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., it's almost impossible for me to come up with anything. It would have to be on Saturday or Sunday, and that's just a hard sell to a venue.
Is.
Like, you're not going to get a lot of venues to allow a Saturday show, and Sunday is like the night that people are trying to rest before going back to work.
This is a very church-going town as well, which is something I'm not sure if you've considered about Sunday shows.
Yeah, and I always like to have my shows from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., which is just like right there in the God hour.
All right, wrapping up a few loose ends. I did go down to Kill Tony last week. I did not get called. It was a record-setting number of names in the bucket. I am so short, and we are all put into this little cattle holding place. I did not know that I could actually have seen the stage until the show was over. There were so many giant people. This one guy who was standing around me, my head was barely above his ass.
And you're all like scrunched in there in what we referred to in the Marine Corps as nut to butt.
Right, except
but for you, it was nut to shoulder blades.
More or less, and I think they liked it.
Excuse me, sir, could you get your penis off of my shoulder?
I'm not. So next time I go, I will try to get a more forward position because everybody can see over top of me. That's number one. Okay, so I didn't get on. It was neat to see it all come down. I was going to the bathroom while they were tearing down, and I came across Tony, who I've only ever heard vocally. I had no idea what this person physically looked like.
Yeah.
And he's tiny.
I mean, he's a thin guy.
Yeah, for as much as he talks about food and eating, I didn't expect him to be so tiny.
Well, he just talks about Red Band eating food, so that's why he's so skinny. Red Band eats all his food.
That must be it. I think he has a tapeworm.
But just remember, when you get up, don't try
I won't roast anybody.
Because it doesn't make you endeared to the audience.
Right, and like, need. Tony is a Comedy Central roast battle writer, and I just gave myself a C for writing some of my own material. I mean, honestly, Jason helped me smooth over anything that was rough in there to begin with and straight up gave me a couple of jokes. The other thing was I thought it would feel good just to see how it all went down and to be part of it.
Yeah.
And it was. Uh-huh. But I also was seriously disappointed when I didn't get called.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you're putting all that time into going down there and everything, and then you don't get your shot. But ultimately, you just keep going and trying, and eventually you'll get called, and you'll get to experience it for yourself and decide if you want to keep trying to do it. I mean, look, David Lucas just sold out a theater, and people got to know him with him being a regular on Kill Tony.
Right.
So there is something to be said about what that show can do for people.
Monday is my birthday, and my husband took off work so that he could spend his birthday with me. He mm-hmm. did that like a month ago, and he asked me what I wanted. And I'm like, I want to go to Austin and try to get on Kill Tony. And he's like, are you fucking serious? Like, it's my birthday. That's what I want to do.
Oh, my God.
So, for my birthday, I'm going to Kill Tony. Now, Richard doesn't go in with me because he won't sign up for a minute because he's not a comedian and there are zero tickets available.
Well, hey, this podcast has been a lot of fun, this episode. I feel not so bad about being stuck in Texas. So, thank you.
And you.
And one thing that I would like for you to do this week, you recently started your social media as Kelly Quinn, host of 104.7
The Bear,
and, you know, comedian. So get on your social media platform and start sending friend requests to some of the people that we've been on shows with as well, and maybe some other local Dallas community. Join the DFW Comedians.
I'm already on that
group. Okay. And then look for other Texas comedian groups. And let's start getting you out there to some more people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
For sure. I like it. And I am motivated. Sorry, this is the last thing I'm going to say. It's really weird because I am in my mid-40s. And I look at all the comedians. They're all like 22 to like 30. And I should probably feel bad about that. But I've looked at how they live their lives, and I don't even put myself very high on the death pole.
Well, thank God, because apparently being friends with me is terminal. So. I get stronger every day, physically.
We're not talking about your appetite.
I will not stand for this. Also, I don't stand for many things. Can I use the restroom first?
Are you going to raise your hand when you ask a question?
Sorry that took so long. There was a line.
Of what, Coke?
No, those days are long behind me. That's why I'm depressed now.